Well, good morning, everyone. I am Charles McKnight, one of the pastors here at West Charlotte Church, and I welcome everyone again to our very first public worship service. Amen. We're so grateful that you guys made the sacrifice to be here today. I know many of you all traveled a long distance to be here, but I also want to thank you all for the sacrifice that many of you all made to help us get here. This has been a long time coming. And we praise the Lord for this day. Amen? Amen. This morning we begin our first sermon series through the book of Acts by looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And you can find that on page 7 of your bulletin. In these five verses, we find a summary of Christ's last words to his disciples before leaving this earth. And it seems fitting for Christ's last words to be our first words as a church. Amen? Acts 1, 1 through 5. This is the word of the Lord. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you promise in your word that your word will always accomplish exactly what you want it to accomplish. And so we pray that you would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, accomplish what you planned before the creation of the world with this word on this morning. And we ask that you do this in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, again, most of you all know that this has been a long time coming. There's been a lot of fundraising. There's been a lot of launch team meeting, a lot of neighborhood door-to-door knocking, a lot of cookouting, and a lot of worship practicing over the past several days to bring us to this day, a day that we might call game day. And I think game day is a fitting way to describe it for a lot of reasons, but particularly at the start of this football season. Some of you all know that a couple of weeks ago, I actually had the opportunity to go and preach to the football team at Johnson C. Smith University, which is a historically black college just a couple of miles that way. And after I finished preaching, I decided to hang around for a little bit just to hear what the coach was going to say to his team during their team meeting. And this was the evening right before their first game day of the season. And the coach said probably what you would expect a coach to say, right? He reminded them of all the things that they had worked on, both individually and as a team, to get to this game day. And he also reminded them of what their game plan was. He reminded them of their mission, which was to win, of course, but also some strategies to accomplish that mission. And listening to this reminded me that no team, no organization or group, no church even, can ever hope to have any kind of success, however they define success, without a game plan, without being committed to a shared mission and a shared strategy. Amen? And so I think it's only right here at the beginning of this work to ask ourselves, what's our game plan? What should be our mission and strategy here in the urban West Charlotte community? Well, because the head of the church is Christ himself, it's Christ's game plan that we need to follow. Not my game plan, not Drew's game plan, not any of your game plans. None of us are the head coach in this picture. Christ is. And as we just sang, in Christ alone. So the obvious question is, what is Christ's game plan? What's Christ's mission and strategy for his church? And that's where the book of Acts enters. The book of Acts is where we find Christ's game plan played out in full action. And in our passage this morning, Acts 1, 1 through 5, we get a preview of Christ's game plan. First, we see Christ's mission for the church. And secondly, we see Christ's strategy for accomplishing that mission. Christ's mission and Christ's strategy. First, the mission. Look with me back at verse 1 of our Acts passage. It reads, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." Now, y'all know how sometimes TV shows will recap an old episode in the beginning of a new episode. You know how they do that? And why do they do that? They do that to bridge what previously happened in the story to what's about to happen next in the story. Well, that's what the author of the book of Acts is doing here. He's making a bridge from what Jesus previously did in the Gospels to what Jesus is about to do next. Now, just some quick background on the book of Acts to kind of help us understand this a little bit better. The book of Acts is a history book. It's a history book telling the story of the beginning of the church. And the author of this history book is a guy named Luke. Not Luke Kuechly, linebacker for the Panthers. But Luke, who was a physician, who actually was a part of the launching of this first church. And this is also the same Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke, another book in the New Testament. And it's in his Gospel where Luke begins telling the story of what Jesus did and what Jesus taught. That's what Luke is talking about in verse 1 when he says, in the first book, he's talking about his Gospel of Luke, I have dealt with what Jesus began to do and teach. Now think about it. If somebody just began to do something, that means that there is more to be done, right? And so Luke is basically saying, Jesus ain't done yet. My first book was just the beginning. But Jesus is alive. And he is as active as ever. And he's active, as we will see, launching his church. Now, just as a side note, you may be wondering, who's this Theophilus dude that he shouts out in verse 1, right? Theophilus is a great name. We should bring that back. His friends probably called him Theo. Yeah. Now, we really don't know much about Brother Theophilus, except for the fact that he was probably a recent convert to Christianity. And Luke actually gives him a shout out in his gospel story, too, in the very beginning. And there we get the understanding that Luke was probably writing this, the gospel and Acts, in part to help strengthen Theophilus in his new faith. And so again, Luke begins Acts by recapping for Theophilus and for us the highlights from his first book to bridge what Jesus had done previously to what Jesus is about to do next. And Luke begins his recap in verse 2 by reminding them that the last thing that Jesus did when he was on earth with his disciples was give them some final commands. Verse 2 says, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. First, I want you to notice how Luke reminds us that his first book ended with a resurrected Jesus spending some time with his disciples. Luke goes on to continue to describe what it was like with Jesus being with his disciples in verse 3. He says, he, Christ, presented himself alive to them after his suffering, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And after these 40 days with his disciples, right before leaving them to enter back into heaven, Jesus gave them some last instructions. He gave them some final commands. And it's in these final commands that we discover the game plan, that we discover Christ's mission and strategy for his church. And so for that reason, we're going to spend a lot of time this morning, most of our time, just unpacking these commands that Luke is talking about here. So what are these commands? Well, if you notice, Luke doesn't actually detail the commands here, does he? And so what we need to do is actually go back to the gospel stories to get those specific commands that Christ gave his disciples before leaving. And we find the fullest description of these specific commands in that Matthew 28 passage that Pastor Drew read earlier. And so we're actually going to spend a lot of our time in that Matthew 28 passage. Does that make sense, y'all? Okay. So I want you to go now back to that Matthew passage. It's on page 4 in your bulletin. And I want you to hear Christ's commands to his disciples. Beginning at verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. These are Christ's final words. And final words are a big deal. If you've ever lost someone that you really cared about, you know that those last words that you remember from them hold a place in your mind and in your heart that nothing can ever replace. Final words are a big deal. And so are these final words from Christ. And that's why, as some of you may know, Christians refer to these final words as the Great Commission. Christ's great and final words, his final commands to his disciples, and through those disciples to the church, even the church today. And it's here in this Great Commission that we see clearly spelled out the mission of the church. And what does Christ say that mission is? To make disciples. To make disciples. To make committed followers of Christ. That's the great and central mission that Christ has given his church. And it's this central mission, as we continue to go throughout the book of Acts, that we're going to see unfolding page after page. And it's the central mission that we as West Charlotte Church must commit to make disciples. And y'all, we need to be aware that sin and Satan and the world are always going to tempt us, to tempt every church, to drift away from this central mission. And I think that temptation is going to be particularly strong for us here in this urban West Charlotte community, because there are endless needs and endless opportunities to do good, to do real good things for and with our neighbors, but things that nonetheless fall short of this central mission that Christ has given his church. The housing issues, the employment issues, the health issues, education issues, the crime issues that exist here in our communities are all issues that Christians in this community should care about, and not just care about, do something about. Amen. Our hearts should break when we see the suffering and the pain and the trauma that so many of our neighbors experience every single day. And as Christians living in this place, we are called to dream of creative ways for our gifts to be used by God to positively impact this community. And as I look around, I see people that are not all only already doing this. Y'all are actually leading in doing this in the community. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen? And as a matter of fact, the rest of us need to follow their lead in what it looks like to love our neighbors well. And at the same time, let us remember that this right pursuit of social good is not the central mission of the church. The responsibility of all Christians, yes, but not the central command that Christ himself has given local churches. Christ has given us a unique mission as a local church. And by local church, I just mean that organization of gathered professing believers and our children under the leadership of pastors and elders. He's given us the mission to make disciples. And I know this may, for some, raise some questions, particularly if you come from a church or a tradition that may have had a broader mission. And so Drew and I invite you guys to hit us up even after worship today during our fellowship meal. We'd love to talk about that more with you. But here, at West Charlotte Church, we believe that our central mission, as commanded by Christ, is to make disciples. Amen? And brothers and sisters, if we as a church commit ourselves to this mission, then we can move forward as a church with great hope that the Lord would indeed use us to accomplish His purposes in this urban West Charlotte community. Now, if making disciples is our central mission, if that's what we're supposed to be doing, then the question is, how are we supposed to do it? Right? What's the strategy for doing this? What has Christ told us is the strategy for accomplishing His mission? Well, here we find three major parts of Christ's strategy. Three major parts: gathering, perfecting, and receiving. Gathering, perfecting, and gathering, perfecting, and depending. Gathering, perfecting, and depending. The first part of Christ's strategy is to gather, and that makes sense, right? How do you disciple some folks that you haven't gathered? That's common sense, right? And Christ doesn't just tell us that we're supposed to gather people, but He actually gives us instructions on how we're supposed to gather. Look back with me at that Matthew passage. Beginning at verse 19, Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We gather first by going. Christ commands us to go, and to go everywhere. He says to all nations, doesn't He? Christ calls His people to go, to set up shop, to plant churches everywhere, right? In rural villages and in inner city communities. Uptown, midtown, downtown, out of town. Everywhere Christ calls His people to go. To black, brown, and white people, rich and poor, young and old, to gather all peoples into His church. But obviously, going by itself isn't enough. We don't just show up and that's it, right? No, as we go, we must also proclaim. Proclaim. That's what Christ commands His disciples, actually in Luke's gospel, in Luke 24:46-47. That's not in your bulletin, but I just want you to listen to Christ's commands for His people to proclaim. It says, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations." Christ commands us to gather, and He commands us to gather by going and proclaiming, by going and making a public announcement. And what is it that we are supposed to publicly announce? What message do we bring to our community? We bring to our community the message of the gospel. The message of the good news that Jesus has suffered and died and He's risen from the dead to save sinners. And that anybody from any background with any kind of junk in their life that believes this good news will be saved. That's the message that Christ has commanded us to gather people around. Not political positions, not social issues, not the personality of pastors, but around the gospel. That's what we proclaim together. Amen? And as we go and as we proclaim, Christ commands us to also receive. Receive. That's what Christ is talking about when He says in the Matthew passage, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them." Now understand, baptism represents a person being brought into membership in the local church. And it signifies a person being brought into the family of God. And so what Christ is saying is that as we go and as we proclaim, we should expect to receive new brothers and new sisters. The mission that Christ has given His church is to make disciples. And as we have just seen, the first part of His strategy is to gather people by going to all peoples and proclaiming the gospel to all peoples. and receiving all peoples that believe this gospel into membership. And again, this strategy of gathering is one that's going to play out over and over again as we go through the book of Acts. And it's this strategy of gathering that we hope to see played out here at West Charlotte Church. And just look around today, y'all. It's already happening. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if we commit ourselves to keep on gathering, then we can move forward as a church with the great hope that Christ will continue to use West Charlotte Church to help accomplish His purposes here in the urban West Charlotte community. Now, as we're gathering, Christ also calls us to be perfecting. Perfecting. This is the second part of Christ's strategy to accomplish His mission. We can see this strategy to perfect in our Matthew 28 passage as well. So I do want you to look back there with me again, starting at verse 19. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I have commanded." Now, have you ever heard someone say, "Jesus accepts you just as you are," right? Everybody's heard that before, probably, right? I've said that before a number of times. And what is right and true and beautiful about this "just as we are" statement is that it reminds us that salvation is not based on any good in us, but only on a good God that loved us so much that He gave His Son for us, to die for us, to save us just as we are. That's 1,000% true. But there's more. Understand, Christ saves us not to leave us just the way we are, but to make us into who He has called us to be. Christ saves us to sanctify us, to make us holy, to transform us by molding us and shaping us into being more and more obedient disciples of His, and to grow us into spiritual maturity. And what we call this is perfecting. Christ perfects us. And how does Christ perfect His people? Well, Jesus says here, by us teaching them to observe all He has commanded. Our mission of making disciples means that those we gather, we also perfect. Now, perfect does not mean to make perfect. Scripture makes it perfectly clear that no one in this life is going to be perfect. There's only been one, and that was Christ. But Christ calls the church to be a community on journey together towards greater and greater obedience and growing more and more in spiritual maturity. And we do this by observing, He says, by learning and applying all that Christ has commanded. And again, it's also this strategy of perfecting that we're going to see over and over as we read through and preach through the book of Acts. And it's also this strategy of perfecting that I hope we will see played out here at West Charlotte Church. Y'all, we got to be a church that's committed to growing in our faith. A church where all comes as they are, and a church where we expect and we celebrate Christ's perfecting work to make us into who we are to be. And I believe that if we commit to do this as a church, we can move forward with great hope that Christ will use us to accomplish His purposes here in this urban West Charlotte community. Amen? And finally, as we're gathering and perfecting, Christ calls us to always be depending. Depending, the third part of Christ's strategy. Now, kids, listen up. Part of what it means to be a kid is that you depend on adults in your life. You need adults in your life, don't you, to help take care of you. Sometimes you even depend on adults to do the things that adults ask you to do. So for example, if your mama, daddy, grandma, whoever, ask you to help out around the house, maybe they ask you to help sweep the floor in the kitchen. You need them. You depend on them to actually teach you how to sweep the floor. You depend on them to buy the broom and to buy the dustpan so that you can sweep the floor. You even depend on them to buy the light bulb and to pay the electricity bill so that you can see the floor to sweep. Can I get an amen from any parents with some dependence? In the same way, Christ calls us to depend on Him to do the things that He's asking us to do. And that's what Christ is getting at in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. So we're going to flip back to our Acts passage, and we're going to look at just those last two verses, verses 4 through 5. It says, and while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father here, y'all, is the Holy Spirit. That's what He's talking about. Which He said, you heard from Me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, after Christ had given His game plan to His disciples, they didn't get to run out the locker room just yet. It wasn't game time just yet. Because there was another player, a star player, that they would need to depend on to lead them to victory. And Christ tells them that this player is the Holy Spirit. Christ's mission would be impossible for them to accomplish on their own. But He promises that when the Holy Spirit shows up, not even the gates of hell will be able to stand in their way. So Jesus tells them, just hold on for a sec. The Holy Spirit is on His way. And when the Holy Spirit shows up in the book of Acts, and He's about to show up for real in chapter 2, He'll take center stage as the star player that the church depends on to accomplish Christ's mission. And it's the Holy Spirit that we too, as a church, must depend on to accomplish Christ's mission for us to make disciples here in this urban West Charlotte community. Brothers and sisters here, there is absolutely nothing, not a thing that we can do of any eternal significance that we can do without the work of the Holy Spirit. We are completely dependent on Him. We depend on the Holy Spirit to do the gathering that Christ called us to do. We depend on the Holy Spirit to do the perfecting that Christ called us to do. And we depend on the Holy Spirit to even depend on the Holy Spirit as Christ called us to do. And brothers and sisters, once again, if we depend on the Holy Spirit to help lead us in what Christ has called us to do, we can move forward with great hope that Christ will use West Charlotte Church for His purposes here in this urban West Charlotte community. There's one other thing that we also depend on this Holy Spirit for. We depend on this Holy Spirit to lead us into confession and repentance and to assure us of our forgiveness each and every time we fall short in fulfilling Christ's mission, because we're going to fall short. This is a church of sinners, for sinners, led by some sinners. So we are going to mess up. We're not always going to gather like we're supposed to be gathering. We're not always going to perfect like we're supposed to be perfecting. And we're not always going to depend on the Holy Spirit like we should be depending on Him. And so we need the Holy Spirit in everything that Christ has called us to do. No team, no organization or group, and no church could ever hope to be successful without a game plan. We need a game plan. And as we have seen, Christ has given us one. Our mission, to make disciples. And our strategy, by gathering, perfecting, and depending on the Holy Spirit. So brothers and sisters, let's stick to the game plan. Amen? 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 Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the privilege of being called by you through Christ to make disciples for Christ here in this urban West Charlotte community. And Lord, we pray that you help us to do it. Help us not to trust in our own self, not to trust just in our resources or trust in our abilities, but to trust and be completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray the same thing for those that are here today that are visiting from other churches. I pray that your word this morning would inspire them to go back and continue to encourage their churches to stick to your game plan and to trust the Holy Spirit to do so. And for those, Lord, that are here today that have not yet jumped onto this mission with the local church, I pray that you would draw those that you choose to join us here in your mission. In the name of Jesus Christ, the head of his church, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.